I recall a few years ago now, it was a number of years ago now, though here at Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist, and I was at work, working away in my study just through the door and across the hall there. And as I do sometimes when I'm working in my study, not all the time, depending upon what I'm doing, but at this point, what I was doing aloud for this, I had some music playing as I was working there. And a particular piece of music came through in that playlist, I guess it was, or that series of pieces that were being offered up. A particular piece of music that was so wondrously beautiful that I actually stopped and I picked up my phone and I texted Bev and sent her the link to this particular, I suppose it was a YouTube musical piece. And I sent Bev the link, and sure enough, about 10 minutes later, ping, the text came back from Bev. And it was something like this, a number of years ago, so I don't recall exactly, but the text was something like, "Beautiful. It made me cry." To which I texted back, "Me too." Now, I've actually told you that story once before, I must confess. So forgive me for retelling it this morning, but it is a remarkable story. A remarkable story and a helpful illustration, I hope, this morning. A remarkable story, not because of myself, certainly, not even because of Bev, but remarkable in that how remarkable is the power of music. This piece, by the way, had no lyrics, had no words. It was purely instrumental. It was an oboe with an orchestra. But such is the power of music at times that it brought forth tears from both Bev and myself, and I would suggest, I'm sure, from many others. For this reason, because of the power of music, the church has rightly, through the centuries, given a prominent place as the church gathers week by week, even as we have this morning, and do so every week as we gather together. The church, all churches through the centuries, have rightly given that prominent place to music in our gatherings. And I say rightly, and this is important, I say rightly because the church not only does that in recognition of the power of music, but far more importantly, the church does that and gives this prominent place to music because the scriptures tell us to do so. The scriptures speak of music, and hence this morning we are as well. Our text this morning, again in our series, our Communion Sunday series, the first Sunday of the month, where we take a break from 1 Timothy, and come over to this series on the one another's of the New Testament. And this week, this morning, our one another comes from Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20, the central portion of which was read, the central portion of the reading that we just heard moments ago. And you may have noted, and hopefully are noting now, that in those verses, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, that it begins in this way, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And here we go. Here comes the exhortation. "Speaking to one another in psalms, and in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Paul gives such an exhortation here in Ephesians chapter 5 that we ought to give that prominent place to music and to singing in particular as we gather together as a church. And so this is the passage, this is the text, this is the one another that we want to consider this morning. Now, if you hear that text being read and it's ringing a little bell in your head, That is for good reason. If it seems familiar, it does so because I have preached this text before. In fact, I've preached it fairly recently. No, this is not the same sermon coming up now. This is a different one. And the reason I preached it before and yet am preaching it again is because there's actually two one another's in this text. And so back a few months ago, on September 7th, we concentrated on the next verse, following verse 20, which is verse 21, of course, where Paul there provides another one another, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So I had that read moments ago, so you see the context before, the context after. You see both one another's. We concentrated and spoke on that particular one another, submitting to one another, back on, I believe it was September 7th. But this morning, there is another one another that we want to consider in this text, and that is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But as we enter into it now, in verse 18, what is particularly noteworthy in verse 18 as we begin here this morning is that those two one another's, neither actually of those two one another's, is actually the main verb, can I say, to use a little grammatical term, the main instruction, the main commandment in the text. That rather, not either of those one another's, but the main verb or verbs actually, the main instructions, the main twin commandments come back in verse 18. And that is, don't do this. I say twin commandments. There's a negative and a positive. Don't do this, but rather do this. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. There's the main instructions. There's the main verb. A do not, and in particular, a do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the main commandment in our text. That's the main commandment here. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So before we look at speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, first of all, let's consider this commandment, this exhortation to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and ask the important question, as we like to do, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And again, as we like to do, or at least as I like to do, first of all, what it does not mean, because we might understand this incorrectly. What does it not mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It does not mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the same way, as Bev wonderfully does for me each week, to fill a glass with water, or to fill the tank of your car with gas when it is empty. No, it's not speaking in that way. Why am I saying that? Because as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Indeed, Paul has made this point already. If we were doing a thorough study all the way through the book of Ephesians, which we're not, but we would have talked about this back in Ephesians chapter 1 as well as Ephesians chapter 4, that at conversion, at the new birth, when we are born again, when we come to Christ and find salvation in Christ, the Holy Spirit seals us, and indeed He indwells us. Paul speaks of this, as I say, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You can look this up later. It's in the outline if you happen to be looking there. Ephesians 1, 13. Ephesians 4, 30 also speak of the fact that every believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit from that moment of the new birth, from then on. He is sealed, he or she is sealed by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, just to drive this point home, Paul makes clear there that every believer has, in fact, this is the mark of the believer as opposed to the unbeliever. That Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, makes clear that every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Likewise, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul there also makes clear that by one Spirit, or the ESV says, in one Spirit, we believers were all baptized, past tense, into one body. That by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That is true of every single believer, past tense. Once again, when we came to know Christ in salvation. So, what am I saying here? What is Paul saying in these various verses? That whatever he means in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 with the instruction to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not this. It is not to be, once again, have that Holy Spirit who has somehow leaked out of you to once again come back within you. No, no, no. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is within. And yet, Paul does exhort those who already possess the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, one other thing that it does not mean before I tell you what it does mean. It also doesn't mean some sort of second blessing that comes upon certain believers. No. What does he mean here when he instructs and tells believers continually to be filled with the Spirit? To these ones, as a commandment, to these ones who already have the Holy Spirit within. Well, in order to define this, once again, consider the context and consider the contrast that is given there in verse 18 still in the don't do this, but do this. We understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, but why? By what we are not to do. We are not to be drunk with wine. Paul contrasts and compares and has us understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit by contrasting what it means to be drunk on the other hand, with wine. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, in other words, means to be under the influence. Under the influence, not of alcohol, but of the Holy Spirit. That he is to be the controlling influence in our lives. And so, what have we seen? What do I need to remind you? That is the main verb, the main commandment in our text this morning. Though we are going to now be, or in short order, giving consideration to the one another's, or the one another of this text, but rather we first need to understand that that is the main commandment, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And following that, and now, Paul is going to explain and unpack further, not exhaustively, but an explain and unpack something of what that looks like. Something of what that looks like. And here's what it looks like directly from the text. It means speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means making melody, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means also giving thanks always for all things to the God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we saw on September the 7th, being filled with the Holy Spirit also fourthly means submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so now let's dig into it. We covered and talked about submitting, as I've said, back on September 7th. This morning, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always to the Lord. Let's take a look at that this morning. These are three characteristics now, as your outline notes, three characteristics of the church in song. Three characteristics of the church in song in verses 19 and 20. First of all, in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking. What a strange word that is. What an odd word that is. Why do I say that? Why is that an odd word? Speaking to one another in songs. What would you expect to be there? Singing, exactly. Singing to one another in songs. Take note, Paul does not say that. He says speaking to one another in songs. And what he's talking about there is not someone who sings with a monotone like me, but rather he's conveying another point that we will get to momentarily. But let me first of all point out something else that's odd about that first phrase. The next phrase is also odd. To one another. To one another. Speaking to one another in songs. That's also very odd. The most amazing thing, and hear me, because this is the first point, the first important point, and a point that undergirds all of this morning. The most amazing thing about this one another is that it's a one another. Now, I know that's a little bit deliberately convoluted to get your attention. Now, I'll explain it. The most amazing thing about this one another is that it is a one another. Why do I say that? What am I getting at by all this convoluted talk? Here's what I mean. We are used to singing, thinking of singing as being directed where? Directed to God. And rightly so. And rightly so. That our singing is to be directed to God. Praise and thanksgiving to Him. So true. We selected this morning as our opening reading, Psalm 105. And verse 2 says there, sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. And that is indeed what we are doing, Sunday by Sunday, song by song. We are singing praise to our God and to Christ. We do sing praise to God, but Ephesians chapter 5, and even if you read further in Psalm 105, there also, we are told that also, we speak songs or sing songs to one another. You've probably never thought of it that way. That when you were singing just minutes ago, you were singing to your neighbor. You were singing to one another. And that's what Paul is saying here when he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing to God, we sing to one another. Singing is directed also to one another. As we do so, we are reminding and speaking to one another, reminding each one of us of the biblical truth that is in that song. Singing, in other words, and here we go, note this as well. Singing is a part of the ministry of the word of the church gathered together. Singing is a part of the ministry of the word. We proclaim biblical truth from the pulpit. We proclaim biblical truth to strengthen and to encourage believers. And that always is to be preeminent. That always is to be and will be at Fellowship Baptist Church, the heart of our gathering together, the proclamation of the word from the pulpit. However, we see that it is also true that we proclaim biblical truth to one another as we sing songs. We proclaim it to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. The ministry of the word. The ministry of the word in song also. Thus, here at CFBC, the importance of words that we sing. We want to ever sing songs that are pregnant with biblical truth. Pregnant, filled, chock-a-block full of biblical truth. Even this morning, I was so tempted, by the way, this week, to ask, can we sing this song? 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 But I did not. But notice how the songs that were chosen out this morning by Peter Shields, Pastor Peter, week by week also by Peter Schalk, not with us this morning, that these songs that they choose out, we'll talk more about that momentarily, are pregnant with biblical truth. Again, getting back to my point, even this morning, praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? The biblical truth? The providential hand of God caring for each believer, the providential hand of God in the life of the believer. We're not done. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me, the high priestly work of our Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, even now. You sang that this morning. To one another. We're not done. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. The eternal security of the believer held in Christ's hand, held in the Father's hand. These are all wonderful biblical truths that have been sung already this morning. At CFBC, we want to sing songs that are pregnant with biblical truth, and we are seeing this morning that you are singing those songs as an encouragement to one another, not only to the Lord, but to one another, to strengthen and encourage. We want to sing songs that are not only good songs, but are the best songs. And hence, we ask the question, as we select songs to be sung here, we do not ask the question, is there anything wrong with this song? We could ask that question, but we go beyond that. We don't even ask, is this a good song? We ask the question, would we consider this to be among the best songs? For we want songs that, once again, are pregnant with biblical truth. Songs filled with biblical truth. Songs that are not about me and my experience. Not I, me songs, but rather songs that are he. Songs that direct us to the glory of God and the splendors of Christ. Let me actually explain how we do things, getting very practical here. I'm pulling back the curtain, as it were, letting you see what takes place week by week as we prepare. Each week, it is the music leader. This morning, in this past week, it was Pastor Peter. Normally, our music leader, Peter Schulk, chooses out the songs. Not me. It is he who chooses out the songs, but he chooses out those songs from a list. From a list of songs that have been vetted with those questions that we just referred to, or with that question. Can this song, is this song chock-a-block, so chock-a-block full of biblical truth that we can consider it among the best songs that we could possibly sing? And it is from a list of those songs that has been so vetted that the music leader chooses out the songs week by week. One other point. One final point on this first point about speaking this one another, of speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. One final point here is, and I'm going to be a little bit provocative here. Maybe I already have been, I don't know. But I'm going to be a bit provocative now here. Because singing is part of the ministry of the word, and singing to one another is what you are doing. Therefore, when you miss a Sunday, and I'm not talking about ice storms, I'm not talking about being sick, but when you miss a Sunday, first of all, it is painful to you because you are not being strengthened and encouraged by others from the pulpit ministry, but also by others who are gathered together. But it's not only painful to you, but here's where it gets even more provocative. Forgive me, but I'm going to say it anyways. When you do so, you're actually reneging on your responsibility. You're reneging on your ministry to others. It's not just me that ministers on Sunday. We are to minister to one another in various ways, and we're concentrating on one way particularly this morning, that we minister to one another by speaking to one another in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. We move on. The second characteristic of the church in song, not only is it part of the ministry of the word whereby we proclaim biblical truth and remind one another of biblical truth, but also as we move along, that gathering together in song is also singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. At the same time as we are speaking that and singing that biblical truth to one another, that biblical truth that we are singing to one another is the outflow and should be and ought to be the outflow through our lips and by our tongue of joyful hearts. This morning, we haven't sung yet this yet. No, we haven't, but you will. We will feast in the house of Zion. We will sing with our hearts restored. He has done great things, we will say together. We will feast and weep no more. The singing that comes out of our lips that encourages and strengthens one another is biblical truth, and it's also the outflow because of that biblical truth that is in our hearts. It is the outflow of joyful hearts through our lips, through our tongues to one another, strengthening and encouraging one another. And by the way, I hadn't necessarily intended to say this, but here's the throw-in for this morning. We will feast in the house of Zion. You will sing as we gather round, just before as we gather round the Lord's table. And I don't know, I didn't talk to Pastor Peter about this, but I know him well enough that that was very deliberate, that he placed that in our service, not only selected it, but placed it before we meet at the Lord's table. As a reminder, as we enter into the table, that there's coming another feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb. For at that table, and as we close this morning, we proclaim Christ till he comes. And through that song, you will be reminded of that. There's a little tip for you as you're singing that song. That's how you're encouraging one another this morning in that way. But this singing to one another of biblical truth comes out of a heart that is filled with joy because of all of Christ, all that Christ has done for us. Singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Perhaps you are noticing this morning, I would not be at all surprised if you are noticing this morning, that I'm using this opportunity to speak a little bit specifically, an application of the text in a very specific way to our philosophy of music here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I am indeed. If you're noticing that, that's why. That is what I'm doing, applying the text in that way. And so a further point in that way, about what we do here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And this is oh so important. We recognize, as we consider that singing is the outflow of joyful hearts through our tongues and through our lips, we recognize, and we like to say it this way, that the most important musical instrument in our gatherings on Sunday mornings are your lips and your tongues. And everything that is done is directed towards that. Towards your singing to God and to one another. Your tongues, your lips are the most important musical instruments. To that end, our limited instrumentation is deliberate. And all that our music team does here at the front is to facilitate your singing. They are not performing up here for you. This is not a concert. This is them doing what it takes to facilitate your proclamation in song. I sit at the front, in the front chairs, week by week. I do it for a very practical reason, so I can spring forth at the appointed time. But it's also a wonderful thing that I enjoy doing, because I get to sit up there and hear all of your singing wash over me. And you know what I was thinking this morning as I was sitting there? Wow, this is amazing, considering we're down in number because of the ice out there, and yet it still was washing over me wonderfully. Thank you. You are singing, you are speaking to me Sunday by Sunday in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, encouraging me, speaking and reminding me of biblical truth, and I thank you. And I am doing it as best I can back to you, and each one of you are doing it to others out of joyful hearts, and thus, once again, your tongues, your lips, are the most important musical instrument Sunday by Sunday. I must move on, mustn't I? And so we move to the third and final characteristic here now in verse 20 of the church in song. Giving thanks always for all things to God. Notice the all there. I think Paul's trying to make a point. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that this is a standalone point. I don't think that this has to be taken in connection with singing because of the all there. We are to be giving thanks in all things and in all ways to God. No matter what we are doing, we are to be continually offering up thanksgiving to God for all that he's done in Christ. I think this is a standalone point, not necessarily connected to the one another that goes before of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's not just connected to singing, but it is surely connected to singing. Not just that, but it does include singing. That in our singing, we are to also be offering up thanksgiving to God. So we see both aspects of that we've been talking about. What aspects do you mean, Craig? We see once again that yes, our songs and our singing on Sunday morning is speaking to one another to encourage and remind one another, the ministry of the word and song. But it is also, once again, properly at the same time offered up to God in thanksgiving for all that is ours in Christ. Again, this morning, and again, you haven't sung this yet. But here's how we will conclude our time together this morning. Who his love will not remember? Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He shall never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Also, recall from earlier this morning, we opened our service very deliberately with Psalm 105. But the more I chose that out, and I think it was Tuesday this week, something like that. And the more and more I looked at it through the week, and the more and more I looked at Ephesians, I saw how parallel they were, how wonderful that is. But as we speak of this third characteristic of the church in song, giving thanks to God through our song, as we consider that, I would have you also recall those words that were spoken earlier. As we consider giving thanks, for Psalm 105 was read to us, which says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord." But here's what I really want you to note about that. And I have permission to say this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Who read that? It was read to you you are reminded to in all things, including song, at all times to give thanks to the Lord. You were reminded by a dear sister who lost her husband of 60 plus years about a month ago. And she stood up here this morning and read to you those words, give thanks to the Lord. The church in song, encouraging and reminding one another as we speak and sing those songs to one another, and also out of the melody and the songs that are in the joy that is in our heart, and also giving thanks to the Lord in our song together. In conclusion, a reminder, a brief reminder as I conclude. I approach this subject with a smidge in this text, I should say. I never approach subjects, I approach texts. I approach this text this morning through the week with, I must confess, a smidgen of fear and trepidation. For is there anything more controversial than music? At least it tends to be. And why is it so controversial? It is because, and this is understandable, music is so bound up by personal preference. We all like different things in the music, and that's just because we're different people. That's fine and wonderful. But this morning, what I've been trying to do through the text is convey some objective principles beyond personal preferences, but some objective principles from Scripture that guide us, that take us beyond personal preference and guide us in our times together as the church in song. We don't do this perfectly, at least I certainly don't. But this is what we're seeking to do week by week on Sunday mornings. And so, as I say, in conclusion, let me remind you how we started this morning. That all of what we've been talking about, all of what we've been talking about, is a reflection of being filled with the Spirit. That it all comes, all of the things we've talked about, plus verse 21 from September the 7th, all of this comes from being filled with the Spirit. In other words, the one who is in Christ, the believer, the one who is in Christ by faith, and indeed, everyone who is in Christ by faith, every believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And each one, however, this morning is exhorted at the same time to be filled by that Spirit, to be shaped by, to be conformed to that Holy Spirit in our lives, that He is to be the controlling influence in our lives. And that Spirit produces fruit. Galatians chapter 5, as Elder Coyote spoke on last week. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. And one of those fruits we have spoken of this morning is joy. Do you see it all connects? If you're a believer, you have the Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. See the fruit of the Spirit produced. And if that fruit of the Spirit is produced in you, which it will be, which it must be, because it's fruit. And the one thing that identifies an apple tree is apples. And the one thing that identifies one who is indwelt by the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit includes joy, the joy that we've been talking about this morning, the joy that bubbles forth and can't help but bubble forth in song, singing and making melody in your heart, which spills forth through our lips, through our tongue, to others as well as to God. To others, speaking to them and encouraging them with biblical truth, and to God in thanksgiving. Singing that strengthens one another as we gather. Singing that shouts forth thankfulness to God for all that is ours in Christ. This is what it means to be a Spirit-filled believer. May each one of us, as believers here this morning, may each one of us, but in particular, may Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, when gathered together, may it ever be so for us as we gather. Let's pray. Father, even as we heard this morning in our first reading from your word in the Psalms, may we give thanks to you, Lord. May we call upon your name. May we make known your deeds among the peoples. May we sing to you, sing praises to you, tell of all your wondrous works. May we glory in your holy name. And Father, we truly pray that you would let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.